At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Today we delve into a story that grips both the heart and the mind, a case where love, control, and tragedy collided under one roof. Madeline Kingsbury was more than a name in the headlines. She was a mother, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. But her story became national news when she vanished without a trace. This isn't just about the search for Madeline. It's about the unraveling of a relationship, a fractured partnership stretched to the breaking point. And now, as Adam Fravel sits on trial for her murder, we find ourselves asking, did frustration, control, and fear of abandonment push him to do the unthinkable? Or are we witnessing a miscarriage of justice built on assumptions, untested evidence, and the burden of public pressure? Was this a relationship haunted by emotional violence, or is this a case of tunnel vision, as the defense claims, one man made to look guilty by the sheer force of public outrage? As the trial unfolds, disturbing details emerge, forcing us to confront a question as old as crime itself. How well do we truly know the people closest to us? This case raises unsettling questions, not just about what happened, but about the deeper forces at play. When love becomes toxic and truth becomes elusive, what lines are crossed that can never be uncrossed? What makes a person snap? And what are the signs, if any, that someone we love may be dangerous? The trial of Adam Fravel, charged with the murder of Madeline Kingsbury, opened with a clash of narratives that left the courtroom in Mankato tense with anticipation. Prosecutors wasted no time laying out their case. Madeline, a mother of two, was on the verge of escaping a relationship marred by emotional turmoil and alleged abuse. On the other side, Fravel's defense team argued that the investigation was a case study in tunnel vision, built on assumptions and public pressure, with police missing key pieces of evidence along the way. It all began on March 31st, 2023, when Madeline Kingsbury was last seen alive, dropping off her children at daycare with Fravel by her side. Surveillance footage from the daycare that morning captured the final image of Madeline, unaware that this mundane act of parenting would mark the end of her life. Hours later, she would disappear without a trace, setting off a frantic search that mobilized thousands across the state of Minnesota. As news of her disappearance spread, the public's interest grew into a massive search operation, with volunteers scouring wooded areas and rivers near Winona. It wasn't until June 7th, 2023, that the search came to a tragic end. Madeline's body was discovered concealed in a culvert near a rural road, wrapped in a fitted bedsheet and bound with black gorilla tape. The site was less than 2 miles from a property maintained by Fravel's father, raising immediate suspicions about Fravel's involvement. The prosecution contends that Fravel, fearing he would lose control of both Madeline and their children, killed her in a desperate act of possession. They argue that as Madeline made plans to move out and start anew with their kids, the relationship's final unraveling pushed Fravel to act. Prosecutor Philip Prokopowicz emphasized that digital evidence, text messages, and personal witness accounts would prove Fravel's intent. The messages between the couple, introduced as evidence, showed increasing tension in the days leading up to Madeline's disappearance. One text from Madeline, sent to her sister the night before she went missing, suggested she was preparing to move out and leave Fravel. She had even found a new townhouse for herself and the children, a decision that the prosecution argues was the breaking point for Fravel. Fravel's defense attorney, Zachary Bauer, painted a very different picture. He argued that the investigation was flawed from the beginning, focusing too quickly on Fravel while neglecting other possible suspects and critical evidence. Bauer highlighted what he called key investigative failures. The vomit discovered outside the home, never tested for DNA. The unexplained scratches on Fravel's face, initially ignored by officers. And the absence of blood found in either the house or the vehicle. Adding further intrigue was Fravel's behavior during his interactions with law enforcement. Body camera footage showed him laughing and chuckling during questioning, even as he insisted he didn't know what happened to Madeline. At one point, he admitted to investigators that he had once told Madeline she could end up like Gabby Petito, a statement he now claims was a poorly timed joke. The defense seized on this, describing it as a tasteless but meaningless remark, far from a murder confession. The testimony from Winona police officer Ethan Sense added another layer to the prosecution's case. Sense described his arrival at the home the day after Madeline was reported missing, recounting the strange presence of what appeared to be vomit on the back steps. The substance, he admitted under cross-examination, was never collected or analyzed. The defense used this as a cornerstone of their argument. If critical pieces of evidence were overlooked, how could the investigation be trusted? Prosecutors also introduced surveillance footage from Highway 43, which tracked Madeline's van traveling south toward Mabel on the day she went missing. The footage showed a 45-minute gap during which the van's location was unaccounted for, just enough time, the prosecution argues, for Fravel to conceal Madeline's body. When confronted with these inconsistencies in court, Fravel's defense argued that there were perfectly innocent explanations for the missing time, though they failed to provide specifics. The trial's first day set a contentious tone, with both sides trading emotional blows. On the prosecution side, friends and family testified to witnessing troubling incidents of domestic abuse, including moments when Madeline allegedly wore excessive clothing to cover bruises during warmer months. However, the defense countered by calling these accounts revisionist history, shaped by grief and bias after the fact. Bauer urged the jury to focus on the evidence, not emotional testimonies. By the second day of the trial, forensic experts took the stand to detail their findings, or lack thereof. Despite extensive searches of the van and the couple's home, no blood or signs of a struggle were detected. In the basement, investigators found empty boxes for security cameras, suggesting that surveillance footage may have been removed, though it remains unclear who did it and when. Another compelling piece of evidence came from text messages exchanged between Madeline and Fravel in the hours leading up to her disappearance. Fravel sent several messages asking where she was, what her plans were for the weekend, and whether she would take their daughter to visit family. Prosecutors argue that these messages were an attempt to cover his tracks by making it appear as though he was unaware of her whereabouts. The trial's opening week also brought forward haunting testimony from officers who discovered Madeline's body. One investigator described the moment he knew something was wrong. "I heard flies," he testified. "They were everywhere." The discovery of the body in such a remote location, wrapped meticulously in household items from her home, further cemented the prosecution's theory that this was no random crime. It was an act of premeditated murder. As the trial continues, the focus remains on Fravel's intent, his behavior, and whether the evidence presented will be enough to convict him. Each new piece of testimony adds to the complexity of the case, blurring the line between guilt and reasonable doubt. For the jurors, the challenge lies in sorting through the emotional weight of the testimonies while staying anchored in the facts. As the trial progresses, the focus shifts to the intricacies of Adam Fravel and Madeline Kingsbury's relationship, offering the jury and observers a deeper understanding of what may have led to this tragic outcome. Their 7-year partnership was a complicated dynamic of love, conflict, and unmet expectations, now dissected in front of the courtroom. This section dives into the emotional currents that shaped their relationship, revealing the psychological, behavioral, and environmental factors that may have contributed to the fateful events of March 31st, 2023. Madeline was not just a working mother. She was a driven individual balancing a hybrid work schedule at the Mayo Clinic while raising two young children. Friends and family describe her as someone who was increasingly frustrated with Fravel's lack of involvement at home and growing emotional distance. Several witnesses testified that she had begun to express dissatisfaction with the relationship long before her disappearance, seeking advice from close friends on how to leave without creating turmoil for the children. It was revealed during the trial that Madeline's relationship with Fravel was not just fraying, but unraveling rapidly by early 2023. Testimony from close friends suggests that Madeline had recently started seeing someone she met on a dating app, a decision that became a tipping point. Prosecutors argue that Madeline's intent to leave was not an impulsive decision, but one she carefully planned, going so far as to arrange a new place to live with the children. The psychological underpinnings of the case take center stage as experts introduce theories on control, emotional manipulation, and the risks associated with leaving a potentially abusive relationship. The prosecution posits that Fravel's actions fit a pattern of escalating behavior seen in cases where one partner struggles with emotional dependency. The Gabby Petito reference, they argue, was more than just a poorly conceived joke. It was a signal of control, a warning of what could happen if Madeline truly left. Fravel's defense, however, paints a picture of two people simply growing apart, denying any claims of violence or manipulation. They argue that the couple was navigating a peaceful separation and that the alleged threats and abuse were either fabricated or misremembered by friends and family. In text messages introduced by the defense, Madeline expressed gratitude to Fravel for his support and co-parenting, adding layers of ambiguity to the narrative. Environmental factors also come into focus during the trial. The rural setting where Madeline's body was found on a road maintained by Fravel's father raises difficult questions. The defense insists that the proximity of the crime scene to Fravel's family property is purely coincidental, noting that the area was previously searched without finding anything. The prosecution, however, views this as evidence of Fravel's familiarity with the location, pointing to the sheet and tape used to conceal the body as further connections to their shared home. Throughout the trial, testimonies from law enforcement highlight the challenges investigators faced. Detectives admitted under cross-examination that the initial focus on Fravel may have limited the scope of the investigation, leaving certain leads unexplored. The failure to collect DNA from the vomit discovered at the house becomes a symbol of the case's investigative gaps, with the defense using it to question the reliability of the entire investigation. Fravel's demeanor during police interviews adds complexity to the story. Body camera footage shows him shifting between cooperation and deflection, laughing at times and growing defensive when pressed. When asked directly if he had anything to do with Madeline's disappearance, Fravel repeatedly denied involvement. Yet subtle inconsistencies in his statements left investigators unconvinced, leading to his eventual arrest in June 2023. Adding further nuance to the case are the testimonies of neighbors who reported never hearing arguments or witnessing any signs of domestic violence. This challenges the prosecution's narrative of a toxic relationship, but also raises questions about how much of the couple's struggles were kept behind closed doors. The defense leverages this to argue that the case is built on revisionist history, shaped by grief and the need to find someone to blame. The involvement of forensic scientists in the trial reveals the complexities of crime scene investigation. Despite extensive searches, no traces of blood were found in the home or the van Fravel drove that day. The lack of physical evidence, the defense argues, undermines the prosecution's theory of a violent crime. However, the prosecution counters that not all violence leaves visible traces and that the condition of Madeline's body wrapped and hidden suggests a deliberate effort to conceal the crime. Throughout this phase of the trial, jurors are confronted with conflicting narratives, forcing them to grapple with the ambiguity of the evidence. Was this a premeditated act of violence, or are the prosecution's claims stretching the available facts? Each new testimony seems to raise as many questions as it answers, deepening the complexity of a case already clouded by emotion and tragedy. As the trial moves forward, the courtroom becomes a battleground for truth, with both sides presenting their versions of events with equal conviction. What remains clear is that the story of Adam Frivel and Madeline Kingsbury is more than just a legal case. It is a portrait of a relationship unraveling, shaped by love, conflict, and ultimately loss. At the heart of this story lies a question we all fear. How well do we truly know the people we share our lives with? Madeline Kingsbury thought she had time to rebuild her life, time to take those steps toward independence and a new beginning for herself and her children. But time ran out. And now, in a courtroom hundreds of miles away from where she was last seen, a jury holds the power to write the final chapter of her story. Is this case a tragic example of what happens when emotional control spirals into violence? Or are we witnessing a grave miscarriage of justice where a flawed investigation and emotional testimonies have clouded the facts? The prosecution paints Adam Frivel as a man desperate to maintain control, pushed to an unspeakable act when that control slipped from his grasp. The defense insists he's a victim of tunnel vision, a man caught in the storm of public outrage. Somewhere between these two narratives lies the truth, an elusive thing that may never come fully into focus. Cases like this remind us of the delicate balance between love and control, and how easily that balance can tip. In relationships clouded by manipulation, the lines blur between affection and possession, between safety and danger. And when those lines blur, the fallout can be deadly. What makes a person act on their darkest impulses? Could warning signs have prevented this tragedy? Or were they hidden too deep for anyone to see? The hardest part is knowing that for Madeline Kingsbury, there is no second chance, no reset. What remains are two children left without a mother and a man who claims he's been wrongly accused. Whether the jury's verdict brings clarity or leaves us with more questions, one thing is certain. The choices we make and the truths we ignore will always catch up to us in the end. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe. The story doesn't end here, and neither do the questions.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
Well, I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.